Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal doctrine containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. To find additional information about Gnosis, such as books, videos, and online courses, or to engage in online discussions, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. This lecture was made possible through the generous support of listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Homo, nocete ipsum. This is a famous phrase that is repeated in different books written. A Latin phrase. Homo, nocete ipsum. This phrase was written in the threshold of the door of the one of the temples of Delphi, which is a temple in Greece. Even though the phrase is Latin. But you know that Latins, or we will say Romans and Greeks, were always in relation, sharing knowledge among them. That's why when we refer to mythology, in relation with Greeks, we said Greek-Roman mythology and the different gods from the Greek pantheon, we find them in the same Roman pantheon, but with Latin names. And for instance, Jupiter is Zeus among the Greeks, etc. So, Greece, of course, was visited by many great initiates from Italy. And that's why we found that Latin phrase written in a Greek temple. Homo nocete ipsum, which is translated as man know thyself. And as you see, it is clear there that the word noce is a Latin word for knowledge. Noce. Nocer. nocere, which in Greek is gnosis, similar. The word noce, te, is like you know. Ipsum means in itself or thyself. So nocete ipsum is you know yourself. And homo, of course, is a Latin word, in Latin word for man. So, as I said, you find the word gnosis in Latin, which is nocere, in this axiom or in this phrase, homo nocete ipsum. Gnosis, of course, as you know, is a Greek word which means knowledge. Nocere, in Latin for it, for knowledge. And this is why this phrase is concerned, or very concerned with Gnostic teachings. And it directly related with what we do, which is to know ourselves. So we are going to inquire, investigate this phrase from the very Gnostic point of view, in order for us to understand its meaning. To begin, the word homo in Latin is translated as man, hominis, different derivations of this word that I repeat, the translators translate it as man. But let us remember that the word man in English derives from the Sanskrit word manas, as we many times stated, which means mind. So likewise, we have to state that the word homo, that is translated as home in different language, or as in Spanish, hombre, which means man in English, is also related to the mind. Likewise, let us point another Latin word related to homo, which is humus. Humus in Latin related to soil. In itself, we will say it's a substance like clay that could be moldable. So you find the relationship of the word humus with homo, as in the book of Genesis is written that the man was made from the dust of the earth. And humus is also related with the dust of the earth, the soil, the land. So of course, when we Gnostically, from the Gnostic point of view, go into the investigation of the word humus related with homo, we find another word, which is homunculus. Homunculus, which is translated as little man, The plural of homunculus is homunculi, which is a word very often used. It's used very often among the alchemists, philosophy, in order to designate a creature made in the laboratory of alchemy from humus, and a creature that is similar to a human. You see, in this case, for instance, the word human, as we said many times, that hum is related with the spirit, with the monad. But of course, as we know, the spirit, the monad, is not a person. It's an entity which abides in the sixth dimension that we call the intelligence. And from that point of view, if we apply the Latin to the word human, we find humus, the word humus, which is that element, as I said, or the dirt, the dust of the earth, from where the man is made, human, or manas. So you see the similarity, because indeed, Sanskrit, Latin, Greek, Chinese, Hebrew, in their depth, are rooted in the ancient language of the Atlanteans, the Watan is the language from which all these ancient languages are rooted. And that's why, nautically speaking, we find always similarities, roots in different languages, which always point to the same thing. So, as I said, the word human, humus, and mind. The mind, of course, we will say, the humus, in its chaotic state. As when you find an artisan that wants to make something with clay, of course, he put the clay on the counter or whatever he's going to make that thing with clay, and he starts molding it with water, mix it with water, and with his hands, little by little, utilizing his intelligence, he will make of it a pot, a doll, or whatever is in his, her mind. So, likewise, this humus in Latin is that element, that matter, that is molded by the monad, by the intelligence within the laboratory of nature. As we stated in many lectures, the monad, the intelligence, descends from the sixth dimension into the world of samsara, into the world of matter and action. That is what we call in Kabbalah, Asya, matter and action. So in order for the world of Asya, matter and action, to act or to be done, the intelligence, the monad, acts in different kingdoms, as we already stated. And of course, it starts working with the humus of the earth, with the matter, the chaotic matter, in order to form a vehicle to express his own intelligence. Because the matter in the long run is an element that the intelligence uses in order to manifest itself. into the universe. Without the matter, God cannot exist. Well, the Master Samael stated, not even God can exist without the matter. But you have to understand that God is. That is the monad that we always state emanates from the unknowable divine. Is. What exists is what has a beginning and an end. And everything that exists is nothing but matter in different densities. And that is the humus that the intelligence molded from the mineral kingdom, from the very bottom. You see, when we said mineral, we see matter there, but not in the shape of the plants or the shape of the animals, but in the very own unformed manner, but sometimes with a beautiful ways, physically speaking. But let us not go into the physical plane or three-dimensional matter yet, because we are talking about the humus, which is also physical. But this matter that starts being molded by the intelligence is protoplasmic matter that we always state in many lectures. It's the first type of matter that the monad, the intelligence, starts to mold in order to manifest itself through it. Because that's the intelligence, the monad wants to manifest in it in order to express itself or to develop its own qualities. Without the matter, God cannot express his own qualities. God needs matter in order to express the qualities that we call God is the monad intelligence. It has no form. You see, has no form. But in the matter acquires form, shape. This is something very important to understand, because we always state God has no form, but takes form with the matter. So the protoplasmic matter is mental matter, is mind. You see? It is very important to understand that mind and matter is the same. That's why everything that we perform with the matter first exists in the mind. But the mind itself is also matter, but more moldable than the physical matter. So this protoplasmic matter that we talk about, the humus of the earth, is mental. So in other words, as is written in other Gnostic books, the intelligence utilizes the mind in order to manifest itself in the universe. So, behold here the main point, the mind, the matter. And from that mind and that matter, humus in Latin, humus, because I believe that the H is not pronounced, humus. As homo, for instance, you don't pronounce the H. From that humus becomes the homunculus, which in different Gnostic books or traditions or philosophies by many masters are pointed as small men. But we will say it, small creatures made of mind, made of that matter, that activate the mineral kingdom. So when you utilize your clairvoyance, the sight that that grants you the power to see beyond the two-dimensional world, that allows you or gives you the power to penetrate into the mental world. That's clairvoyance. Fortunately, this sense is atrophied among us. But we can put it in activity. And then we can see the protoplasmic matter that we are talking here, which is the mind, and all the forms, shapes that matter takes in the unknown dimension. So as I said, many books written talk about this homunculi, or little men, that abide in the mineral kingdom, and they are called gnomes and pygmies. These little dwarfs, of course, are made of that matter, protoplasmic matter. But they are little intelligences, as many times we express in many lectures, that activate or that animate the humus, the matter. And that's why they are called homunculi or homunculus. So every single gnome or pygmy from the mineral kingdom is, of course, the intelligence that utilizes protoplasmic matter. And then when you see them, they also take the shape of little humans. So when from this point of view, I had to state, and we are stating, that the homunculi, the homunculus, or the human shape that we find in this physical world, existed millions of years ago within the laboratory of nature by the intelligence, made by the intelligence. The objective, of course, of these monads which abide within this homunculi is to make that shape physically in order to, from that shape, to work in themselves and to make something superior. That something superior is what in Latin is called vir. You see, V-I-R, vir, vir, or by, vir is in Latin. It's translated as man in different books. And also, homo is translated as men, and they are not synonymous. Why? Because this vir, of course, is related with that entity which is in the sex, or the sexual force which is divine. It is not related with the humus, but abide within the humus, within the matter. That deer is precisely what the alchemists call the ens virtutis. You see? There is a word in Latin that we utilize many times in many books, Gnostic books, which is ens seminis. Ens means entity. Seminis. The entity of the seed. Or the entity of the semen. Because semen means seed. The seed. So that seed, of course, is the sexual matter. That obviously has to be utilized by the monad. Because the monad utilizes the ens seminis in order to mold the humus, the matter. And within the ens seminis is the ens virtutis. That ens virtutis is a very entity or the intelligence of God. From it is how it's molded. You see? With that ens virtutis, the ens seminis cannot develop and what we know, a human being. But this enseminis, or entity of the seed, is not only human, but also plant, animal, mineral, because it's precisely the creative energy that is the intelligence, that is what, that performs or that do what it has to do through the matter. So that deer is precisely virah in Sanskrit, that shiny element that acts there in the matter, where we call the intelligence beyond the matter. From this vir comes the word virility, which is obviously associated with the sexual energy. And from virility or vir, virtutis, comes precisely the word virgin. Virgo. So here, of course, we are directly going deeply into that vir that is also Latin for men. But of course, it's translated in books as the male gender. But gnostically speaking, this vir is, of course, that will of God, potency, or the intelligence of that spirit that acts in the matter. And that's why from this word deer, Virgo, derive many words. Virginia, for instance, is a feminine name. And many other names derived from vir that point. For instance, the word Virginia was not in the beginning Virginia, but vergina. And from that comes vagina. Vid, life. Vino, which is wine. So as you see, here we are pointing to another aspect of what in Latin is pointed as man. But always when we point at the man, remember, in Gnosis, we are not pointing at the male gender, but at the mind. The mind is the man, manas. In Sanskrit, the humus, the homunculus, that is created before the physical matter is created or manifested. So when you, for instance, investigate, I repeat, with your clairvoyance, the mineral kingdom, then you discover the gnomes and pygmies, which are animated, the beautiful stones, rocks of the earth. They are, of course, depicted in many tales, always working with the gold, with the mines, with the jewels of the earth. And indeed, those intelligences are the base of what we call gold, iron, lead, copper, diamond, emeralds, etc. So every single mineral is, of course, the physical vehicle of those intelligences in those metals, those minerals, those rocks, those jewels. And the protoplasmic or the homunculi, the homunculus, the matter that form those bodies in the internal dimensions is the one that we always state evolve, assumed to evolution. Those bodies evolve, they grow, and of course the intelligence, the monads inside, are shaping them and developing them according to the forces of nature, according to the rays of the cosmos. And the physical matter that also evolves, evolves from that cause. So the physical matter evolves because of that. So when we talk about evolution in this three-dimensional world, we explain that that evolution exists because of the evolution of the protoplasmic matter. And the protoplasmic matter evolved because of the intelligence that is behind, which is precisely the monad, the spirit, that has no form, but that takes form in the matter. In the plant kingdom, as we stated in many lectures, those homunculi enter and take different shapes in the plant kingdom in order to animate the physical matter of the plant kingdom. And this is why in the physical plane appears trees, flowers, beautiful plants, because of those homunculi that you also abide in the internal dimensions and utilize the plants as physical bodies. Anyone that concentrates and develops clairvoyance can verify this. Let me give you an example in relation with my own experience. When I was in San Antonio, Texas, I became very familiar or a good friend of a magay, agave americana is called that plant. Beautiful plant, as you know, it's a cactus. This cactus is related with the planet Jupiter. In other words, transform the rays of the planet Jupiter, cosmic rays. The plant, of course, is a physical vehicle of an elemental that we Gnostics utilize very often for magic works, we would say, or mental works. Because when you know how to utilize your intelligence, that intelligence can work in the matter of plants and animals, minerals. So I was doing certain work with this magay, and always concentrated in my home, in the plant, in order to work with it from afar. And I remember one day that the homunculus, the creature from that plant, appeared as a gnome, but of course more evolved than in the mineral kingdom. It was a creature like 12 years old, white, pink cheeks, pinky, like fire, you know. A beautiful 12-year-old homunculus, and was wearing only, cloth. yeah, around his sex, covering his loincloth, loincloth. And he was singing next to my bed when I was meditating his name in order for to help me, like, if you want to work very often with me, just pronounce my name, and that's it. Of course, I have the name here in my head. I don't tell you because this is something very personal. It's my friend, and I don't know if we like to hear his name here. But it's a plant which is in San Antonio, Texas. And of course, I was seeing him and his protoplasmic bodies. Beautiful. But of course, in the physical plane, the shape of his physical body was Agave Americana, Amagay, a cactus that existed because of him. He enter and leave the plant as his will. So likewise, we find that every single plant is a physical vehicle of these homunculi intelligences, which we call them also elementals. But they are homo as well, mind, that evolve, as we said in many lectures, within that internal dimensions, in order to animate the physical matter and to impel the evolution of the physical world. Without them, this physical matter won't exist in the physical world. It's impossible. Because everything has its causes in the internal dimensions. So, of course, through evolution, as we explain in many lectures, those homunculi enter into the animal kingdom. So their bodies, their mind is more evolved. And that mind is a vehicle that they utilize in order to act with the forces of nature, in order to express their own intelligence. So, in the animal kingdom, also, we had many experiences with these homunculi, or creatures, elementals from nature. And related with that loincloth that we were talking, I remember another experience, but this time with animals. As you know, we Gnostics, we like to make also or to be involved with magic with animals. Esotericists, occultists always work with animals in a positive way. When I was in Canada, Toronto, forming another Gnostic group, one of the students gave me two little kittens. One was like a tiger, and the other was black, pitch black. Very beautiful cats, brat kittens. But this is how you had to get them when you want to become friends with them, very little. So they were, of course, playing there physically in the Gnostic school. And at that time it was winter, you know, winter in Canada is very cold. So that day we went to buy some chicken in order to make chicken soup for the next day. The kitchen, that was very close to the backyard, it's very cold. So we didn't need to put the chicken into the fridge because the whole kitchen was really a fridge itself. So we left that chicken above certain plates, dishes, in the upper, cabinet. Yeah, the cabinet. of the kitchen. In order for my little brat friends not to go there, you know, I needed to live there, you know, was like maybe a foot high from the counter. So I said, well, there's no problem here. These little monsters won't take anything. So we went to sleep. The next day, when I awoke, I found the chicken on the counter. But for my surprise, not even a single dish was broken. So what's going on here? Somebody put the chicken for the cats by itself on the counter in order to make me angry. So I was wondering, and I was talking with everybody. I said, no, I didn't do it. But obviously, it was eaten by the cats. And I said, I will punish these little brats in order to inquire and to know why they did that, because they shouldn't do that. So I won't feed them this day. Of course, when we were talking about that and with the chicken, they would just disappeared by magic. So they're guilty. So then they were hungry, you know, because little kittens are always hungry. But I didn't feed them. I said, until they tell me who did it and how they did it. I was more curious about how they did it, you know, because they didn't break any dish. And I know that they can communicate. They can talk to you in the internal planes, in the astral plane. Physically, you only hear meow, meow, meow. But in the internal planes, you can talk to them with the homunculus of the creature. And they talk to you. They understand and communicate. So that, the next night, in the astral plane, they came to me, the two little ones. And they were exactly as we were describing the creature of the Magi. But different, of course. A little bit more evolved. But since they were little kittens in the physical plane, they were like boys, or like maybe same age, 12, 11 year old, and with the same loincloth around their sacks, but with a human shape. And then I was talking to them, and I said, but the one that was addressing me was the black cat. The other tiger kind was not addressing me, was silent. And then the black one asked me, why are you not feeding us? We are hungry, but you know why, I said. Until you tell me how you did it, then I will feed you. And then he said, the black, well, my brother went inside the cabinet, pushed the chicken. I received the chicken in the counter, and there, we didn't break anything. I said, good. So that's how you did it. And of course, he explained to me, they went the heating, you see. And then when I walked, I said, these guys really are very intelligent. But the black cat is more intelligent, because the other one was always quiet. So that day, I went to the corner. It was a Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, store there. And I bought two legs for them, already fried. And I put them on the floor. Yes. He says, this is okay, you are out of the punishment. Eat them. And they were there, but they were looking at the chicken and looking at me, like, is this true? Or are you going, is just a test or something like that? I says, go, don't be afraid. Eat it. And finally, they were engulfing themselves with their legs with the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Funny, right? But it's true. And later on in time, of course, the black cat became one of my best friends. The tiger type was always in the streets and, you know, just like an alley cat. And he didn't care. But that one, the black one, was a very good friend and was always close to me. And he didn't help me in many things related with astral projection. And then I discovered what the Master Samael talked about in the Gazing at the Mysteries. the elemental or the homunculus of the black cat, which is very powerful, and it is. Fortunately, those homunculi are utilized by certain sorcerers in order to do evil things. And the animal always obeys when he is punished, as you see. But we have to utilize elementals for good, because if we utilize it for bad, then we gain karma. So here you see that in different times, I experience with elementals of plants, minerals, animals. So for us, when we practice, it's nothing new. And you also can practice that and experience that easily. But you find always when I experience with these elementals, I discover that they take always a human shape in the internal planes. And from that point of view, from my own experience, I know that the human shape exists before the physical plane. It is not like the conventional science in this day and age, the anthropologist, materialistic, that said that the human shape comes from the ape. A certain monkey transformed in time and became a human being. No. That shape is in the internal planes before the appearing of the three-dimensional world, because he is in the protoplasmic form. But it's, of course, submitted to evolution. That homo, or that homunculus, the homunculi, enter into the human level. When they enter into the human level, onto the humanoid level, and then they start giving the human shape to the physical matter that they need, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, in order to mold that matter as a human in this physical plane. This is that the ability that the monad is acquiring little by little in order to acquire an homo sapiens. You know, this is another Latin word which means a mind that thinks, that has sapiens, intelligence. And we are homo sapiens. A mind with intelligence, a mind that reason with intellect. That's the goal of evolution, of nature, to make the homo sapiens. So, of course, in the time of Lemuria, when this planet was starting to crystallize in the three-dimensional world, still that human physical shape was not appearing yet as we have it right now. The human shape was intermingled with the animal shape, because the protoplasmic form or the homunculi was entering into the human form little by little. Finally, with the evolution of time, the human physical shape was appearing and was different from the animal shape. But you have to understand that that homo sapiens that came through evolution into this physical plane is not the human being. It's just an intellectual animal, an intellectual beast, that through evolution acquire intellect. And that's why the Greeks and Romans and many other ancient cultures knew about that, because they were seeing it. As I saw the plants and the animals and many other creatures that I had experiences having the human shape, they knew it. Not because they read it, or because they have libraries, or because other scientists or anthropologists from the materialistic point of view, they said that they were superstitious or believing in something. No, they were not blind as we are blind. They were seeing it, and that's why they understood it. And that's why those initiates that saw those things and that understood that the Homo sapiens was the final level of evolution of this homunculi needed something else in order to go ahead in its development. In this very moment, it's very important to mention something, but because it came into my mind, Jesus of Nazareth and Nicodemus. In Latin, it's written, there was an Homo of the Jews whose name was Nicodemus. Or there was a man of the Jews named Nicodemus that came in the night to talk with Jesus and says, Master, we know that you are coming from God because nobody can do with the things that you do if God is not with you. And then the Master Jesus says, Verily I said unto you that you had to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Be born again. You see, he is already an Homo sapiens. But he has to be something else in order to enter into the higher realms of life of the Sephiroth that we talk about, out of the Samsara. And that's why the phrase on the temple of Delphi, Homo nocete ipsum, that is a direct phrase, a phrase directed to the mind, you see, to the Homo. Meaning, utilize your intelligence, as I utilize my intelligence in the practical way in order to investigate these things that I'm telling you. You can do it also. Because the same elements that I have in order to do it, also you have them inside. Everybody has that inside. So when you apply that, and then you enter into the Homo, you see, into your mind. That's why we say that Buddhism is a science that enter and study the mind. When you study the mind, you can go back into your past lives. Why? Because this homunculus, or this mind of yours, that is an Homo sapiens, acquired different physical vehicles before. Because this homunculus is submitted to other laws, to the internal dimensions, and is given opportunity in order to animate the physical plane in different lives. That is what is called return. And that many people mistake that with reincarnation, which is another law, but similar. So, of course, Homo nocete is directly to your mind. Because in your mind is the history of your own existence. If you are here in this human shape, it's because your intelligence, which is your monad, your spirit, shape that with time. The humus of the earth, that soil, that clay was shaped in evolution until now. And now that you have the shape of a human, a Homo sapiens, you have the opportunity to walk in yourself in order to become a deer. V-I-R, vir, which is a man in Latin, different. Because for that you have to work with the ens virtutis, which is in your ens seminis, within your own humus, your own seed, to transform that nature into another nature. And that's precisely the great mystery of Gnosis. Knowledge, nocere, nocete. In this case, we have to state, if you want to know yourself, Then you go into your protoplasmic matter, into your mind, and when you awake senses, and then you discover your previous existences, not only in the humanoid level, but in the animal level, in the plant level, in the mineral level, and beyond. When you, of course, become in contact with your intelligence. But if you forget about your intelligence, or if you fall into the mistake of thinking that matter takes shapes and evolves without intelligence, as the anthropologists or the materialistic science state, stupid. Because intelligence exists in everything. And when you awake, you realize that. But when you are blind and you cannot see beyond the two-dimensional world, you only utilize your five senses. Obviously, you cannot go and prove what I'm talking about. So then that is. And that's why when you apply and you awake your consciousness through different techniques, like meditation, which is the main one, and then you go inside yourself. And then you discover that because of your mistakes, because of the forgetfulness of your inner intelligence, you were acting mechanically and shaping that humus, that matter, into something else in your inner worlds, creating what in Tibet are called psychological aggregates, skandhas. Skandhas. Elements which are animal that took horrible shapes. Yeah, the skandhas are the protoplasmic bodies. But of course, when you do not know how to control with your intelligence, with your reasoning, your own mind, then you start creating mental forces with your own sexual force, with your own energy that you have in your physical body, transforming the protoplasmic matter into another element that we call, for instance, anger, pride, self-esteem, greed, lust, gluttony, laziness, fear. Those elements that are in the protoplasmic bodies and that are protoplasmic as well, but in a devolving way. And let me tell you another experience, to tell you that I'm not talking here about because I read it in some certain book. One day, with the experiences of the techniques that the Master Samael Onvior gave us in many books, I went out of my body consciously. But I was having a lot of troubles, with my LUST, lust, as many of you might have it, because obviously, the animal, the homus, the homunculus, is always related with the animal behavior. So I wanted to investigate and to see that element in me. So I went out, and then I prayed to my own particular monad, to my own particular spirit, my own intelligence. It's telling me, please show me my own lust. I want to see it. Because I want to transform myself. I want to change. So I want to talk with myself, or with that part of myself, in other words, with that protoplasmic aspect or mental element that is in me. So I did it. And of course, with certain clues and invocations that we know, and then me appear in front of me. In other words, that part of my mind appear in front of me as I am the consciousness, of course, and seeing my own mental projection there. And when I was seeing the creature or the homunculus, in other words, in front of me, I was seeing somebody exactly, it was like I was seeing my face in the mirror. The same body, the same face, same everything, with only one small difference. The eyes of that homunculus that I was seeing in front of me, similar to me, were red, like fire. Then I understood, this is my own lust. And of course, I continue an experience that was very long, but with only this experience, I proved that the protoplasmic body within me has the shape also of human being. And all the elements that we call lust, anger, pride, vanity, etc., also have a human shape within us. And what the Master Samael states, that each ego has a human shape, is a psychological aggregate protoplasmic element, is true. But unfortunately, we don't have only one, we have many. And his protoplasmic might take the shape of a homunculus within us. That's why we state in Gnosis that if we take all the defects and vices that we have from within, we will form a city, a neighborhood with people that abide within us. Unfortunately, these are our case. The protoplasmic body now within us are many, multiplied within. They are devolving. And that's why that the explanation that we give, that we are full of contradictions. One moment we are saying something, and the next second we are denying what we say. And it's because different protoplasmic elements within us that are having their own mind, their own reasoning, their own whim. So, homo nocete ipsum is going directly to the mind, but also beyond, because it is stated that in the Temple of Delphi says, after nocete ipsum, know yourself, it says, and you will know the universe and its gods, or in other words, and his intelligences. So here, of course, we know that the unity is multiplicity. So the gods, the intelligence of the universe exist inside, not outside. As intelligence, of course, beyond the protoplasmic matter, we find the intelligence, the monad, in every single kingdom of nature. So those people that think that what we call God or gods is something in this three-dimensional world, in some part of the sky, of heaven, or in the space, of course, are people that are not serious in themselves, that are not investigating their own nature. Because when you investigate your own nature and the nature in front of you, you discover that the intelligence of everything is within the matter, not outside. God is within each one of us and within every single thing that we see in the mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, animal kingdom. Not only in this planet Earth, but everywhere in the universe. And if we want to discover the gods, then we have to go inside. Because if you don't discover your own God within, you cannot discover the gods without. When I said without, I mean within the matter, out of you. Because if you want to discover the great masters, angels or archangels, which are precisely outside of you, you have to go within the internal dimensions, not in the physical plane. In the physical plane, you only find the four kingdoms, whether in this planet or in other planets. So that intelligence that helps and animates the matter, as we said in other lectures, the monads have their own superior hierarchies that teach them, that control them in the internal planes. And there is one hierarchy here that I want just to talk about, because it's the responsible of these Gnostic teachings, of this knowledge that we are giving now, which is Samael, which is the fifth of the seven spirits or superior hierarchies in this solar system. Samael, of course, has been studied in different levels for ancient esotericists. And is the archangel or the intelligence that is behind the ens virtutis or the ens feminis, the sexual force, in other words. That's why when we name the master and his complete word or complete name is Samael on the Or, which in Hebrew language translates as on virility or sexual potency. Vir. And the Or means light or and light. So this Samael is on the Or. The light in its own virility, light and fire, which the Zohar states in the beginning of the crystallization of this three-dimensional world, which, as you know, happened in Eden. It is stated that in Eden the sexes were separated. When the sexes were separated, and then the man and the woman was receiving the commandment, you shall not eat from the tree of knowledge. Gnosis. Nocere. This is how it is that you should not eat from the tree of knowledge. Doesn't mean that you don't have to inquire or to investigate with your mind about things. In this case, the tree of knowledge is, of course, the very sexual energy that creates or that molds the matter, the ens virtutis. This is what is called, and it is stated, that the fifth of the seven, Samael, archangel, is the one whose wisdom is the tree of knowledge. And he acts and molds the homo, the humus, whether in the physical plane or whether in the internal planes, two ways. When the human being reached, according to evolution, the level of homo sapiens, and then he was receiving the statement of Jesus and Nicodemus, you have to be born again and then to enter in other realms. But for that, you need to activate the ens virtutis. That ens virtutis is in the ens feminis, in order to acquire knowledge. In other words, in order to develop vehicles which are not protoplasmic, but vehicles that will develop other senses in order to penetrate in the higher realms of the universe, or Sephiroth, as we state. Of course, as you observe, that In the Bible, it's always associated, the sexual act, with gnosis, with knowledge. It is written that, it is said there, that Adam knew his wife, and she begat Cain. Or Adam knew his wife again, and she begat Seth. And the word for knowledge, which in Hebrew is that, is always associated with a sexual act. To know. And indeed, if you want to know or to inquire all of this, you need a sexual energy. Your senses, for instance, in this physical plane, your five senses, that allowed you to hear and to see, to smell, to taste, to touch matter, in order for you to know about this physical world, were created in the sexual organ of your mother. Remember that you were there evolving 9 months, and the sexual energy of your mother there, which is the woman in the womb, were creating the sight, the nose, the ears, and all those senses in order for you to go out of the womb. When you went out of the womb, in order for you to know, you see, to know the physical world. So everything comes from the sex. Because that seed, that sperm that was placed in the womb of our mother, was before in the sexual organs of our father. It is on virility. And that's why it is written that the new man, the Superman, has to be born from a virgin. You see this word, Latin word, virgin. The vir from virility, or then virtutis, and gene, or the genie, or the genes in our sexual force. Genesis. From there, of course, is how we had to create. Remember, I repeat, the Superman that man into the image of God, it is written, is always being born from a virgin. And that is a Latin word, virgo, a maiden, it says. But when we look in the root of the word virgin, we go into the sexual organ. Because that is the virility, the ens virtutis is in the sexual organ. We had to create it with the ens virtutis. We had to learn how to take that ens virtutis in order to acquire superior knowledge. And that is always given by Samael, because Samael is the one that rules the tree of knowledge. It is written in the Zohar, Kabbalah, that this Jacob was the opposite of Adam, the sinner. You see, Adam breaked the commandment, you shall not eat for the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And Jacob came and did the opposite. He was the image of the other Adam that didn't eat. But it's written that he learned that by fighting with an angel. Jacob was fighting with an angel. And in the Zohar, it states that that angel was Samael. And it states that Samael, when the sexes were divided, he came into the tree of knowledge riding a serpent. And Samael was the one that gave the fruit to Eve. And he's talking as the angel of virility. On. A-U-N. On. Means sexual potency, virility. Samael on the oar. Riding a serpent. Because the serpent is the symbol of the sexual energy. In other words, if you don't control your own Samael, your own sexual potency, the Virach, the Shining One, will not appear within you, which is the superior man, or the celestial, the heavenly man within you. And that's why it is written that Jacob was, of course, fighting with his angel, and it says that after a long period of time of fighting with Samael, Samael told Jacob, "You are fighting with God, and because you fought with God in triumph, release me." But they said, "I won't release you," says Jacob, "until you bless me." And then Samael blessed him. And since that moment, he says, "Now your name is not going to be Jacob anymore, but Israel," which means the one that triumphs, that develops his own fire within. So, of course, that fight is a fight that we always have in our sex. Samael, Onveor, his bodhisattva of that cosmic force, stated, "No one is closer to the abyss than when he is very close to me, and nobody is close to heaven than when he is very close to me." And because the sexual energy is the force for going up or to going down, and with the sexual energy, we know ourselves, because that's the way in order to know our own monad, our own divinity, our own spirit, by going within, by developing the deer. Varón is called in Spanish. Superior being. So the Homo sapiens is just the outcome of evolution. All the minerals, plants, animals, eventually will become Homo sapiens as we are, having a mind, that think, that reason. And when they arrive to this level, then they will receive the same opportunity that we are receiving. The opportunity of developing the Virach, the Vir, the other superior men, not the Homo sapiens. Because that Homo sapiens eventually degenerates. Most of the Homo sapiens in this day and age are becoming homosexuals. And that's not evolution. Of course, you know, Homo in Greek means the same. There's another meaning. But the superior man is what precisely what we want to create within. And for that, we have to take care of our sexual energy, of our own ens seminis. Because in the entity of the seed is the ens virtutis that creates, that potency that will create the superior man within. If the monad had the power to mold the humus, the matter, in the evolving way, and to have this protoplasmic body that we have mechanically, now he has to build with a superior type of matter, solar matter, superior bodies. We have to be born again. That's why you see we always state that we have to create the astral body, the mental body, but the astral body belongs precisely within the internal dimensions. Because we have to discard the protoplasmic bodies that belong to nature, to the mechanicity of nature, and create superior bodies in order to enter into the higher realms. And always state, we have to create, to begin, the astral body, in order to create the vir, the virach, which is a shiny element that is called Jesus Christ in Christianity, the Son of Man, within the astral body. This is not a matter, as you said, of believing, because all beliefs are within the homunculus. The Homo sapiens, since it utilizing his mind, is having many beliefs, many dogmas, many theories. You find that, and you can imagine yourself in the library with all theories, dogmas, and beliefs. But that doesn't change anything.
This is just your protoplasmic matter. So that's what is homo nocete ipsum. So when you start applying the knowledge of that, of your ens virtutis within yourself, and then you discover that through it you become in contact with the vir, with the virtutis, with the gods, with the angels, because they are not made of humus. They are made of other type of matter, superior. And then you discover that what the ancients call gods, divas, angels, exist, but in the superior dimensions. And they are made, or in other words, they created immortal bodies with the signs of the tree of good and evil, or the tree of knowledge with the signs of gnosis. And this is precisely what we point here. Homo nocete ipsum, and discover that you, Homo sapiens, know, you, Homo sapiens, that you are submitted to the law of evolution and devolution. Nocete. But if you are beyond and applies to yourself the ipsum, the superior science, then you will be born again in the internal place. And you will be in contact with the gods. And you will know the universe and the gods. It is not that, for instance, people think, or you will read this phrase in Gnostic books, and because you read hundreds of Gnostic books, you already know what the gods are. No. Of course, in theory, you can know. But in order to know with your consciousness, as we were explaining in the beginning, we come in contact with the superior beings, which are not elementals. We're not homunculi. And for that also, I had many experiences in internal planes. Since I am a Gnostic, a practical Gnostic, I had many experiences with many of those beings that exist in the superior worlds and that religion call gods or angels, divas. But they call Allah, Jehovah, and all that. I have also experiences, but that I'm not going to explain because that belongs to my own development. I'm not going to open that because that is not good. It's wrong. But I have experience with that. In many lectures, we told you about things. And we know also that the homunculi that do not follow the secret doctrine in order to create internally a superior being will eventually become demons. And they exist. I also had many experiences with them, which are devolving homunculi. Rabbi and Klipoth. And everything is internal, you see. But of course, we don't want to know ourselves in order to know the demons. No. But in the beginning, you know your own demons when you are applying homo nocete ipsum. Because you discover then, oh, now that I am applying homo nocete ipsum, know thyself, I'm discovering that I have a lot of demons within, that I am a demon, that I have to transform in order to become an angel. And what is an angel? It's a creature that is being born from another type of matter, superior matter, which is the ens virtutis, the vir in Latin. Do you have questions? Ens virtutis.
How did that work? It's very important in our transformation of ourselves from being just quote-unquote man to superman. How dangerous is
How dangerous is when we lose in the sexual energy in the orgasm? Yeah. Well, the danger is the way in the way when we follow the animal way of the orgasm, which is animal, we lose the ens virtutis, because the ens virtutis, which is the virah, the divine element from which God creates the human being into his own image, is within the seed, the ens seminis, the entity of the seed, or the entity of the semen. And that's why in this day and age you find only Homo sapiens, or intellectual animals. It is rare to find someone with superior bodies. And it's because they follow the animal generation. With the animal generation, you sink into the evolution. In other words, you had to defeat temptation. You don't have to eat the fruits. You had to fight with Samael, with the virility, you know, in order to receive his blessing. And people that follow sexual or animal generation, they just sink in devolution, because that's the mechanicity of nature, or the way that the animal act with orgasm. And that's the main point here, the always state. In order to know yourself, you have to apply the knowledge. You have to apply the force of the tree of knowledge, which is sex, whose wisdom is related with Samael. Because the whole mystery of the tree of knowledge belongs to Samael. That's why it's there. In the Zohar, it's stated that he was the one that gave the apple to Eve when riding the serpent. And he's always appearing there, and because he's the aspect of your own sexuality. He's the angel that has the key of the abyss in his hands. The key is, of course, the mystery of that. You know, to go out of there. So the danger is to lose your opportunity of becoming a virah. Men, superior men. Yes, your question?
Yeah, many people get this conception that the Bible talks about to multiply, be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it sounds like.
Well, the Bible, yeah, the question is that the Bible states be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. But the Bible says, doesn't say be fruitful and fornicate. Right? It says be fruitful and multiply. You don't need to fornicate like animals in order to multiply yourself. There is two ways to multiply: the human way and the animal way.
You have to have an orgasm to multiply.
And as an animal way, yes. But as a human way, no.
Then how are you going to have children?
It says you can multiply without the orgasm. There is a way.
How?
The way in that is by releasing one sperm.
One.
Only one. And that is what the Bible calls the children of God. That are born without sin. The animal generation, in other words. And the children of men, according to the Bible, are the ones that are born with the animal generation. In other words, there are two generations. You see, always apply the gene. When you said the generation of the virgin, remember that the virgin is the one that gives birth to the Superman. Jesus of Nazareth was born from a virgin. That means the virility, the ens virtutis of his own genes and your own, in his own matter. Because when you point, for instance, virgin, whether to a man or to a woman, it is understood as a person that never experienced the sexual animal way, that is virgin, right? That's the virgin in the common way. Well, apply that in a superior way. So the virgin is the one that gives birth to the Son of Man. What is this telling you? That you have to keep your virginity in order to create within you the superior man.
Where is that
right? That virginity, well, it's in the Bible. That the virgin gave birth to Jesus.
What,
was a virgin.
What book?
The Gospels of Matthew and the Gospels of Luke in the beginning. I don't know what chapter or which verse because I don't memorize Bible, but I know it's written there in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. The virgin, it's also written in the Old Testament in the Bible that says that the virgin was going to give the birth of the Messiah.
Right.
Yeah. The Messiah, of course, comes from a virgin.
Right.
But in the physical sense, people understand or think that in the female sex, a virgin is somebody, a woman that still has his hymen in his vagina. And a man, a virgin, is that never had sex. So in both sexes, virginity means not to have experience of the sexual act in the animal way. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have sexual act. No. Sexual act is necessary. But you have to learn how to do it as human. In other words, as it's written in Genesis, you shall not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. That's the meaning of it. The sexual act is necessary, but you have to learn how to do it in the virginal way.
So how is a man supposed to release one sperm?
Well, he had to learn, because that ability was lost millions of years ago with the falling into sin. The man has no that power anymore. Has to develop. The woman still has it. Because the woman releases one egg every month. His ovaries alternate. She had that ability. But the man lost that ability. Because he's falling into the animal generation. But the man has to acquire that ability that the woman has to release one sperm as she releases one egg. But for that, you had to educate your sexual organ. It won't come just by dint of magic, or because you believe in this, or because you believe in that. You had to teach your body. You had to, homo nocete ipsum, your mind has to learn how to know itself, and to apply that, and to develop superior senses in order to acquire that. As a man, of course, because the woman also already had that ability of releasing one egg. But not the man. The man releases millions of seeds, and you need only one. Yes?
You talk about working with elementals and animals. Is there any benefit, since sex is the power in human and animal, to work with a cat statement that's fixed?
Oh, your question is, can we benefit from a cat that is neutered? Yeah, of course, but not in the same way for the cat that is not neutral, because the power of any animal, of any human, of any plant is in the seed, as in the ens virtutis. When you castrate an animal, you take the power of the animal through which it manifests. And that, you know, in order to tell you this, let me tell you another experience that I had with another cat, which also black. I don't remember now in which city, but I also remember that I was working with that cat because I lost the other one that was a very good friend of mine. So I acquired another black cat. But this cat was like the tiger one that I had, always in the streets. But very intelligent. So I was asking him, take me out of my body. Pull me out. And then I remembered that finally, when I was falling asleep, I was communicating with the homunculus, the elemental of the animal. The soul of the animal. And then I said, he says, just one time, and very fast. I said, why? Because all the power that I utilize in order to do that comes from my sex. And I have many, many girlfriends, something like that, in the street. I said, okay, do it. And then he went very fast and released me, right? Like, I want to do it, but I am not interested because. You know, and then I understood there that the power that the elemental utilizes is his own seed. The power of any elemental is in the seed. When you want to utilize any plant, remember, it's in the seed, the power. You plant that seed on the ground, and another tree comes. Without the seed, without the ens virtutis, there's no development. So the same thing in us. The power is in the seed.
You mentioned how the elemental beyond cat uses the seed to attract
the girlfriend, right? Well, the elemental of the cat utilizes, I mean, if you want to have sex, animal sex, yeah, they need the power of the sex. But if they cut, if the testicles are cut from that animal, he cannot have sex anymore. So he loses the ability. In order, it can help you, in the, but not in the same way.
Is that similar to the way, albeit conscious, unconsciously, that a man or a woman who sleeps with many women or wants to sleep with many people from the opposite sex, that's the same way to use it, unconsciously utilize their sexual energy to attract?
No, when I said that, I mean, in other words, that what the cat was telling me is this. If I help you to go on the astral plane anytime you want, when I go with my girlfriend, I won't have any sexual potency because I will utilize that in order to help you. This is what he was telling me, right? In other words, the sexual energy, the sexual force is the one that they utilize in order to help. So there are certain, like this friend of mine that was having in Canada, really, he was very isolated. He was never going out. He wanted to be always close to me, so I really appreciate it, right? But other cats like to go out, and they don't. And the ones that are neutered, well, they can talk with you or maybe help you, but I really never experienced with a neutered cat. Yeah. The power is in the sex, remember. Without the power of the sex, you cannot multiply. Life comes from it. We were created in the sexual organ of our mother. There we evolved. And before that, we came physically from the sexual organs of our father in the animal way. But here, we want to learn the human way. So, do you have any other question? Thank you very much. You have a nice weekend.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help humanity discover the sacred wisdom that leads to liberation from suffering. Make a donation to Telema Press. Visit GnosticTeachings.org for details. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.